Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And I am very excited for today's episode. And if you are so excited that you can't wait and you've got to get right into it, you can check out the timestamps in the show notes because we have a little bit of haunted housekeeping to do. Which is, I just decided I'm going to do little horror check-ins as things come up and
love that
and excite me because if it excites me, it may excite you.
It might.
Love that.
It just might.
Love
that.
And this week, the trailer for the new Alien movie came out, Alien Romulus.
Yes.
Which is directed by Fede Alvarez, who directed my beloved 2013 Evil Dead and Don't Breathe. And truly just this teaser trailer, which was probably 1 minute long, had me floating around the room again. It was just like,
wow, only Fetty can do it to
I
her.
I got so excited. It looks so good. There was a interview with him where he says he loves doing things practically. He won't be doing CGI. And I feel like
no CGI for a new Alien.
I'm sure there will be some, but it will be minimal compared to the last couple Alien movies, which have been very CGI heavy, which is part of why I think they've been bad. I actually didn't see the most recent one, but I think it's kind of widely agreed that they're not great. People like them in their own right, but it feels like we're getting back to basics here and going to get
our
first real alien feeling movie.
I mean, that'll be So fucking cool.
Face huggers in there.
Oh, I'm excited.
And I'm really, really excited. So go check out that trailer if you're a brave person. Because there's one.
I'm not brave.
There's one shot in it.
You sent it to us and I was like, I don't know if I can do it.
There's one shot in it that is so nasty, but it got me so pumped. I think it's going to be disgusting, ooh, this movie, and really scary. So I'm very pumped on that. And on the last little horror check-in we did, I forgot to bring up Long Legs, which...
Ew, I don't like the sound of that.
It's the one that is with Micah Monroe and Nicolas Cage, directed by Osgood Perkins. It's because it's like number one on my list that I forgot to talk about it, because I'm like, well, obviously Long Legs, everybody knows that there's 0% chance that we would forget about that movie. So Long Legs is coming up this year. Also found out this year that there's a third Cronenberg. Caitlin Cronenberg is directing her directorial debut is coming out soon. It's called Humane. These Cronenbergs just keep coming.
Yeah, where are they coming from?
And then lastly, I just wanted to say I was planning on skipping Immaculate because I thought it looked bad, but I've heard enough interesting things. Not necessarily that it's good, but that it's gross,
maybe,
or crazy enough that I am interested again to check it out. So I think we will cover that. So stay.
Hell yeah. I do want to hear about it.
Yeah. I'm
wow.
I'm back in on that one.
Great. Great. I'm so happy because I brought it up and you were like, no, I don't think so. And my heart sank to the bottom of my feet. I was like, no, Sammy, please.
The trailer is bad, but
I haven't even seen the trailer. I don't know.
I'm curious again. So we'll check it out. As long as it's like, it'll at least bad or crazy enough to be interesting, which it seems like it is. So stay tuned.
Hell yeah.
Watch the space.
Watch the space.
Listen to this space. But okay, that's all I got for horror news today. So enough about that. Let's talk about us.
Let's talk about us. Oh God, I hated not talking about us just now.
Did anything scary happen to you guys this week?
You guys, I slept funny last night.
Oh,
and
no.
It's the worst.
I don't know how I could have possibly done it, but I like pulled something in my neck that then kind of radiates down my arm.
Oof.
And it hurts so badly. And the main problem is that obviously I'm trying to take Advil or leave. I have this like Tylenol leave combo that I take. Mm. That's great.
Uh-huh.
And I swallow pills like a crocodile or an alligator.
What?
Which one? Like the one.
What does that
or like
mean?
I swallow them like, or like a bird that doesn't chew up its food. Like I like throw
you
them
just,
in
like,
my mouth.
Gulp it down.
Yeah. And then I always.
Like a pelican? Just
like,
full.
Throw my head back.
Okay.
And
yeah,
just.
Yeah.
And like I do it that way. I can't do it without literally throwing my head back as far as possible.
You have to get your mouth vertically on top of your throat.
Yes. Yes. 100%. That is the image I'm trying to evoke.
Uh-huh.
And I can't do it with how I pull my neck.
Oh, no.
So I'm in the bathroom like, all right, Henley, got to just learn how to take pills like a normal person, not like a pelican. I'm able to do it. It's not that bad. But I got to say, it's... I was feeling embarrassed by myself in the bathroom trying to like take my painkillers.
Oh, do you do?
I just hate it when that happens.
Multiple pills at a time, or are you one at a timer?
I can do multiple pills at a time, but in this scenario, I was doing one at a time.
Yeah, that's understandable. These are exceptional
trying
circumstances.
Times. This is a learning moment. Yeah. This is a learning moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've
completely.
Like just recently started to do two at a time. Bunk is talkative again. Guys, everyone will be happy to know. And I felt really proud. I can do two at a time now. But that's my
yours are also
that's
really
my max.
Big.
Well, not those ones. Those ones I don't do two at a time. But like a Tylenol or something, I could do two at a time now.
Great. It's just a psychological problem.
Yes.
We swallow food like that all the time.
Yes.
But psychologically, it's tough.
No, I have a hard time with pills. I would usually either gag or it's just a... I choose a lot of gummy vitamins and liquid medication mm-hmm. for this reason. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is making me feel better. I'm not alone. What about you guys? How's your weeks?
I already told you guys this, but I need to share that the birds, they had made a nest in our lemon tree. That's where they lived, is our lemon tree, which our lemon tree is overgrown right now. It's blocking our entry to our house. There's so many lemons on it, but you know, respect the birds. But the other day I was making my lunch before work. It was early. I was tired. I wasn't thinking straight. I needed a lemon for my salad.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, okay, if I just go to like the farthest away from the branch to the very end, cut a little lemon off, like they're not even gonna notice. I go to grab that lemon. Cynthia flies out of the nest. And then in a panic, one of the babies flies out of the nest.
No.
Because mommy was gone.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like I immediately was like, fuck, 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 fuck. Like it flew out of the nest, but I was like, should it have? Like, can it get back in? Like, can it fly? I'd never seen it leave the nest. I immediately go into the bedroom. I wake Joel up and I'm like, I like curl up into a ball and I'm like, I just killed a baby bird. Like, what the fuck are we gonna do? Oh my God. He's like, it's fine. Calm down. It's gonna be okay. And I truly was like, this is what Henley warned me about. Like, I was like, I can't believe it's me. Like, I did it. Like, I'm gonna have just fucking killed a baby bird and I'm gonna have to, because I needed a fucking lemon for my salad. You idiot.
Not to be a bitch, but if this bird can't survive someone picking a lemon off the other side of the tree, then that's mm-hmm. that's Thank the Darwinism you. Right there, and that's not on you.
Thank you. Which I do realize, like, there are things out there in the world that aren't just like me grabbing a lemon from my tree. But in the moment, I was like, I didn't have to grab the lemon, right? Like, I could have just not.
Yes.
So I'm really freaking out. Joel goes out there to see if there's a way that he can lift that baby up and back into the nest. But he's like, he comes again, I went to go put the baby in the nest and it started like flying a little bit. Like, I think it's okay. I think it can like fly around. It's like learning how to fly.
Because you're not supposed to touch him, right? He wasn't trying to touch it, right?
Well, he wasn't trying to touch it, but apparently also that maybe isn't true. I don't know. But either way, okay. He didn't touch it.
A bird myth.
But that's what I think it might be. I said that too. I was like, you can't touch it. And he was like, I think that's a myth. Anyway, whatever. He didn't have to touch the baby. But so then we can see them. It's like right outside our living room window. So we come inside and we're watching. He's like, look, look, look. And the other baby is like in the nest, shaking her little shoulders, like looking like she's like, wait, I want to fly. Like, that looks really fun. I want to fly. And we watch her work up the courage and then she flies.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then the other baby flies up onto the branch with her and they just like shaking their little wings at each other like, oh my God, 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 look what we just did, look what we just did. It was the cutest, most special thing I'd ever seen. And then Cynthia came back and then later Daddy came back and then they were a little family of four being like, wow, look, we flew. Isn't that so cool?
I knew there was going to be a happy ending to the story. There's
something really special.
I was just like, something good is going to happen here.
It was really scary. And I was like, I need these birds to like grow up and get out because I cannot live with this. But then, so then they haven't been around in the tree at all the past couple days. And I got sad and scared because I do want them to grow up and go away. But I'm like, but only under good circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit scared that, okay, like maybe something has happened to these birds. I saw a feather in the tree and I'm like, is that just a feather that gets shed because they're birds, or did something eat it and leave a feather behind? But then yesterday, Joel and I were coming home and in the other part of the yard on the ground, we saw mom and daddy and both babies just like hanging out.
Oh, that's great.
And it's like sitting around. I learned that mourning doves are monogamous. So they're like just a true little family.
Oh my God.
It's like the sweetest thing in the world.
No shade to polyamorous people out there, but that's
no
very
shade at all.
Sweet.
But it's sweet when it's animals. Because I don't know. It's very easy to like anthropomorphize and be like, wow, mom and daddy baby. But I'm just really, really, really pleased that the birds are all doing great and that I did not kill a baby bird by needing a lemon for my sod, which I didn't get, by the way.
Oh, no.
But now they've moved out of the lemon tree and so I can get lemons again. And it's really just a win-win for everybody.
Do you have photos of any of these events?
I have some photos of some of the events.
Of the family?
Joel got a good photo of the family, and then I also got a really bad video of the family.
We're gonna need to put something on the Instagram for the
We'll put something out there. they're really just very sweet and very cute. And thank God. Thank God they're okay.
Thank God.
That's all.
Thank God.
Real scary, though. Touch and go. Yeah, that is scary. Touch and go there.
Well, no, I didn't, nothing too scary happened to me this week, to be quite honest with you. I will say that I've been working lately, and that is scary.
That is scary.
Having a job. I realized makes me not watch movies, which is scary because it's like if I've been using my brain all day, it's like I just want reality TV.
You're just done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, but anyways, this isn't to do with that. I was going to say that yesterday, I cleaned my house because I guess it's sort of to do with work, because if my house has anything messy at all, I'm like, well, I have to clean. I can't do any work in here, I guess, until the whole house is clean.
It's hard to work from home when you're not in like a clean workspace. I even feel like it's hard for me to relax on a weekend morning if it's messy. I like have to clean so that I can relax.
Yes.
Also, it's the perfect procrastination.
Yes.
For anything else. Yes.
You're like, I don't have a choice. I literally can't work because I got to do all these chores.
Unfortunately, there's a couple dishes in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to tend to those. And then that will lead to seeing, oh, the sink's a little dirty. Might want to get some bleach out, scrub the sink. So anyways, yesterday I had a day where exactly that happened. I meant to do just kind of a surface level regular cleaning,
but then you started to see, you start cleaning and you start to see all the things that need to be cleaned.
It became the like on your hands and knees scrubbing for 6 hours straight.
Oh my god.
Oh,
I
no.
was like sore from it. I didn't eat at all. I just was like so hyper focused on cleaning. I pumiced the nasty shit in the toilet.
Oh my god,
toilet,
that's dedication.
My toilet is sparkling white again.
Wow.
I mean,
sometimes you just gotta go for it.
I bet it felt
good waking up this morning.
Oh, it felt
amazing.
I bet amazing.
You looked around and you were like, I'm a new woman.
It did. But then I guess the scary thing is also that I can still see so many dirty things. Like, I think I could detail clean my house for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with cats, because it's like the one place you're not, they're making dirt.
Yes. And, you know, once you're done cleaning one thing, something else just got dirty again because now they're tracking cat litter across the house again and it needs another vacuum. But I was like, I need to like wash these walls. just like scrub everything, like clean all my Windex, all my in windows inside and outside.
Oh god, don't even get me started on that.
There's so much to be done, but I did get a lot done and I'm very pleased. But it was a little scary that just, I guess, the person I became, which is not a stranger to me. I know her well.
She is me.
She is me. But
did you listen to anything while you were cleaning?
No, here's the freakiest thing. I don't like to clean with any. I like to really focus on the cleaning.
Focus.
I don't.
I mean, we've talked about this. I also tend to clean in silence.
Yes, I like to be. I like it to be silent.
That's fascinating. I definitely don't. I definitely need constant background noise all the time.
No.
I just need people chittering, chattering in my ear at all moments of the day.
But I'm so focused on the cleaning that I won't hear any of it. And I like all my podcasts. So I'm like, well, I want to listen to them when I can listen to them.
Really focus?
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. That's amazing.
I can listen to them on like walks or if I'm cooking.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. cleaning. Cleaning takes 100% of my attention.
Well, something else scary happened this week, you guys, which is that I watched the movie.
Ooh,
Henley!
I watched the movie. I was racking my brain. I was like, what movie am I going to do? I literally Googled not scary horror movies, looked at a BuzzFeed list, Donnie Darko on this list. And I was like, light bulb moment. I was obsessed with Donnie Darko as a teenager.
This is really interesting. I'm so surprised to hear this.
I've never seen it. I know like basically nothing about it, which has always felt insane to me. It's like such a heavily referenced movie. It was a huge deal when we were, I don't know, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thrilled that my lack of knowledge about Donnie Darko ends today.
It ends right now. Your mind blown, Emily. Wait, Sammy, You've seen it.
I have seen it, but I don't really remember anything other than the one very scary image from it. And I feel like I remember being pretty scared of it at the time that it was out. So this is a fun little role reversal for us.
Well, it was released in 2001, so maybe you saw it at a really young age. I didn't watch it until I was like 15 or 16. And it's not a horror film. It's like a
drama,
psychological thriller drama type of film. But it's has horror elements, I guess. And you guys, I just fucking love it. I just love
it. Wow, I'm so excited.
So we are doing Donnie Darko. The only film that's available is the director's cut. So that was what I watched, which is 2 hours and 13 minutes. So it's kind of long.
Woo!
It's like, I think like 25 minutes longer than the normal film.
Okay. Okay.
It has an 8.0 on IMDb,
whoa,
87% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 88% on Metacritic.
Holy shit. On IMDb. That's astronomical.
Really high. It came out in 2001, and it was written and directed by Richard Kelly. And it's starring, okay, guys, wait for this cast. Jake Gyllenhaal, Jenna Malone, Mary McDonnell, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Patrick Swayze, Drew Barrymore.
What?
And Seth Rogen is in it too.
What?
What the fuck?
Patrick Swayze's really throwing me. I mean, I know. Lot of those are really throwing me. That is really unexpected. As someone who has seen this movie, I don't remember any of that other than the Gyllenhaals.
The Gyllenhaals. Is this the first thing they did together?
Yeah.
This movie like made Jake Gyllenhaal, didn't it?
I think so. It was a big deal for him. But also I wanted to bring up that it's also starring Beth Grant. Do you guys know who Beth Grant is?
Not by name alone.
All right. She is you'll recognize her.
Oh, yes,
the second
I do
you see
recognize
her.
She's like her.
She's like the definition of a that guy. So I looked her up on IMDb. She's been in 242 things.
Ooh, holy shit, Beth.
Including, there's so many.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
No Country for Old Men, Speed, Little Miss Sunshine, Teenage Bounty Hunters. Ever heard of it?
Ooh.
The Office, The Mindy Project, Grey's Anatomy, Justified, Dexter, Modern Family, 6 Feet Under, Malcolm in the Middle, Everwood, CSI, The X-Files. And that's only
a
smattering.
She's in so Beth much stuff works. That I can't think of what the main thing I know her from is.
Yeah.
Even as I'm looking at her, I and as you're saying all those things, I'm like, I still know that there's one specific role I'm thinking of, but how the hell am I ever going to find it?
I don't know.
In this
242 things.
She was in Willy's Wonderland, which we have covered on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some trivia. We discussed this, but the Aero Theater in Santa Monica, where the film's theater scenes were shot, has an annual tradition of playing Donnie Darko on Easter. So this is an Easter film.
Mm. Oh my God, how appropriate.
Very fitting.
Mm-hmm. It's an Easter film, you guys. At the wrap party for the film, Seth Rogen and Jake Gyllenhaal agreed they had no idea what the movie was about.
Great for the lead actor.
Mm-hmm. Drew Barrymore helped produce this film, and she played Miss Pomeroy, who's the English teacher. And if she hadn't stepped in, the movie would have gone straight to video because her production company helped fund it and also put it into cinemas.
Nice.
Wow.
And this is Seth Rogen's first feature film, and his first line is, "I like your boobs." So that was Seth Rogen's first line in his first film.
That really set the stage.
Yeah, that tracks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's it.
Wow.
I will just say, and this is conjecture, but top of mind for me is that Jake Gyllenhaal is rumored to be the person that made Rebecca Ferguson cry.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's one of the top contenders,
not confirmed.
Hadley, you say oh no as if you think Jake Gyllenhaal is a good person?
I don't know anything about is he supposed to be bad?
Is Gyllenhaal in the Pussy Posse? He's not, but he's that vibe.
He kind of has the vibe, but no,
he's Pussy Posse adjacent.
Wait, who's the Pussy Posse?
It's
Leo and Toby.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, Toby Maguire, and Lucas Haas, I believe.
Lucas Haas, yep.
I haven't heard specific bad things about Jake Gyllenhaal until this Rebecca Ferguson incident, but I'm not surprised by it.
I guess Taylor had a bad experience with Jake Gyllenhaal, as we know.
Taylor had a, and it's also like he's 10 years older than her and she was very young when they dated. It's weird. Which that's always going to be a knock for me is like if you're a man in his 30s who wants to date a 20 year old, I'm sort of like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what you going to do?
Well, I was telling Tim last night that it's so funny rewatching it because as a 15 year old, I was totally in love with Jake Gyllenhaal in this movie.
Understandably.
Yeah. I feel like we all had a moment of being in love with Jake Gyllenhaal, I think. But I also don't find him attractive. He is attractive, but I'm not attracted to him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
His current girlfriend's 28, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Mm. Old enough. Old yes. enough for our rules.
Frontal lobe development complete. That is one of my...
you know, I still don't love it. Can't say I love it.
Anybody... watched the new Roadhouse yet?
No.
No.
Not interested.
I have not either. And yeah, I'm not sure that I will be. But
that's kind of fun being that he was in this, his first movie with Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun little connection.
But yeah, no, watching this again as a, you know, in my 30s, I was like, oh, he's such a gross little teenager. And it's so funny that yeah. as a 15-year-old, I was like, oh, I'm in love with him. And now I'm like, oh, no.
Oh. Okay. Also, I just got to point out that according to People, he and his current girlfriend have been together since 2018, which is 5 years ago, at which point she was 23 and he was 38. So it's just not ideal, you know?
Yeah.
He just continues to, I think he just gives me the ick a little bit.
I could see that.
Fair. Okay, so should we do it?
Oh my god, we should
do it.
Let's
do it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay. And I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5 spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it, and it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, so it's 1988. We open on thunderstorm noises, rain, cicadas, birds chirping. Ooh. It's a blue and purple sunrise in California. We pan over what looks like the San Gabriel Mountains down a deserted road. We spot Donnie, that's Jake Gyllenhaal, obviously, lying barefoot in the middle of the road. He's slowly waking up. He's confused. He's alone. His bike is knocked to the side. We get the impression that he slept walk or slept bicycled to this spot. It's beautiful. There's beautiful, eerie piano music playing. He kind of laughs to himself while he wakes up, looks around. Title card, Donnie Darko. At this point, I'm so excited because this film is so good and I cannot believe I haven't seen it in so, so, so long. So then Never Tear Us Apart plays while he bikes barefoot in his pajamas down the St. Gabriel's back through to his neighborhood to his gorgeous, large suburban house. Slow motion of his dad, leaf blowing outside in the yard. We see his sister, his older sister, and then his younger sister. And then also
his older sister played by Maggie.
Yes.
Fun.
His little sister's jumping on a trampoline. All of this is in slow motion. His mom is reading Stephen King's It for some reason on a lying on a chaise lounge.
Great.
He walks back into the house and on the whiteboard on the fridge, it just says, "Where is Donnie?" Cut to dinner time. Donnie and they're all sitting around the table. They start bickering and Maggie, I'm just going to call her Maggie. I don't even know what her name is.
That works great.
That's totally. Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Maggie calls Donnie a dick and he's like, whoa, a little hostile. Maybe mom and dad should pay someone $200 an hour to listen to your thoughts. And she's like, you want to tell mom and dad why you stopped taking your medication? And everyone gets really quiet and is upset, clearly. So then later the mom asks the sister, she's like, how did you know that he wasn't taking his medication? And Maggie is like, I didn't know it was such a big deal. And the mom is like, it is a big deal. And she goes into Donnie's room and she's like, where do you go at night? What happened to my son? What's going on with you? And
yikes.
And he goes, you take the goddamn pills. And then she leaves the room and he calls her a bitch, which she hears. Then she goes to tell her husband and he says, a great line. He says, you're not a bitch. You're bitching, but you're not a bitch. Really nice. Reassuring. Really reassuring.
That's really great. Love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So Jake goes and he takes his pills. He has sad Jake Gyllenhaal eyes looking at himself in the mirror. Goes to bed. In the middle of the night, the dad can't sleep, so he gets up. He goes downstairs. He turns on the news. Weirdly, now we get a date, October 2nd, 1988. We didn't get a date before, but now it just shows on the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
And then we get a creepy voice in the background. It just says, wake up. And then a close-up of an iris, of an eye, and then Donnie, eyes closed, breathing heavily, kind of slowly gets out of bed, walks down the stairs, and the voice in the background goes, I've been watching you. Come closer. I can't do the voice.
Wow.
He grabs a marker from the kitchen and walks out the door down the streets. The sprinklers are going. Then we get the first image of like the iconic bunny. This is what makes it an Easter film. He sees a scary bunny in the distance. And
like,
it's a man in a bunny suit.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought I remember.
With like a metal mask and metal ears. Yeah.
It's really scary.
Ew.
It's very creepy. It's the creepiest, yuckiest bunny you've ever seen.
Can you believe it's been 23 years since this movie came out and I don't know what you guys are talking about? Donnie Darko.
You gotta see it.
You're not gonna like it.
It's a very hard mask.
Ew! Oh, that is really scary. Oh, I don't like that at all.
And the bunny says, 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds. That's when the world will end. And Donnie smiles, still asleep, and he says, why? Then we cut back to the house. Maggie comes home. We see Maggie come home. We see the mom sleeping. We see Dad asleep on the couch. And suddenly, boom, huge explosion. The entire house shakes. There's a chandelier that goes wildly side to side. Everyone wakes up and is like, what the fuck? Maggie like goes down into a ball, like looking around, looking really scared. And then we cut to the morning. Donnie's asleep on the golf course. Two guys, one of them being Patrick Swayze, is like poking him with their golf club and waking him up. And he's like, stay off the links, kid. And he goes, won't happen again, Mr. Simmons. And he just like walks home barefoot in his pajamas. And he looks down at his forearm and he's written the 28 days, etc. on his forearm. Mm. So he walks back to his house. Police are everywhere. His house is like caution taped off. And he looks up and a plane engine is being craned out of the middle of the house.
Oof, that's so scary.
And his family's all there like looking shocked and scared. And his sister's like, it fell directly in your room. Then the FAA basically make Donnie's parents sign some papers and they give them a room in a hotel. And they talk about how they don't know where it came from. No one knows where the plane engine came from.
Ooh, that's worse than knowing.
It is worse than knowing, for sure.
So we cut to the hotel and the kids are in one room and the parents are in the other. And the mom and dad are lying in their hotel bedroom, kind of stunned. And we find out now they've been together since high school. And the dad is basically like, is Donnie doomed? Like, what is he's talking about this kid who died from their high school and everyone talked about how he was doomed. And he was like, now people could be saying the same thing about Donnie, but he dodged it. Someone was watching over him. Cut to next day, they're waiting for the bus stop and we meet Donnie's two best friends who are just horny, dumb little teenage boys. And we get an iconic scene.
Let me guess, Seth Rogen.
Well, no, Seth Rogen's actually a bully. He's one of the bullies.
Wow.
He's like the sidekick bully. Yes. We get another slow-mo scene. Loves to do slow-mo scenes in this film. Donnie jumps out the back of the school bus. Tears for Fears is blasting. And we get a intro to everyone in the school with this very cool kind of slow-mo single shot through the school hallway, kind of swinging around into different rooms, into different things. So we kind of meet everyone at once. We see the school bully, not Seth Rogen, the main one, doing a bump of cocaine. We see a teacher who is Beth Grant, the iconic character actress, and headmaster greeting Patrick Swayze, who's there to promote his self-help book. We see Drew Barrymore. We see Jenna Maloney. We see a group of elementary school girls, including one of his little sister, doing a synchronized dance. And we follow Drew Barrymore as she goes into class. And she's teaching Graham Greene's short story, The Destructors.
She's a teacher?
Yes. So she's a teacher.
How much older than Jake Gyllenhaal is she?
No, that's a really good point. She's only like 3 years older than him. So
I guess we got ourselves one of those Love Actually situations. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm, 3 years apart is the difference between a young child and a married woman.
Yes. Let me tell you, I for sure read Graham Greene after seeing this. That's how much I liked this movie and how embarrassing it is.
I think that's cool, Henley.
Okay, thanks. I don't. They're talking about this short story, and then Jenna Maloney enters. And you guys, this is going to blow your fucking mind what Drew Barrymore does next. It is so insane. So Jenna Maloney enters. She's standing in the back. She's a new student. It's her first time ever coming to this class. And she says to Drew Barrymore, where do I sit? And she says, sit next to the boy you think is the cutest.
Oh.
Huh?
And then the entire class is like, oh, and she goes, quiet, let her choose. And then she goes and sits down at her desk.
Next and to Jenna who? Maloney.
Jenna Maloney.
The teacher sits down.
Yeah, she sits down. Jenna Maloney, totally unfazed, stands in the back, looks around the room, takes it very seriously, looks at everyone, looks at Donnie Darko. Clearly, they're into each other. Drew Barrymore goes, Joni, get up. And makes the girl sitting next to Donnie get up. And Jenna goes and sits next to Donnie Darko. The piano music in this moment swells. This movie is insane, and I fucking love it.
Very funny. I feel like I've brought up Love Lies Bleeding 1,000,000 times to Emily in the last 24 hours, but Jenna Malone is in it, and
she's fucking
just
great.
Love her. She's great.
I feel like I've seen her in Pride and Prejudice, and then this, and that's it.
Did you ever see Saved?
Oh yes, Saved.
I'm glad she's Saved.
Oh, I want to see that one again.
The Hunger Games.
Sorry, you ever seen or heard of the fucking Hunger? Wait, not even the first one, right? The second one.
I can't remember. The second one, but yes, one of them.
Yeah.
So then we get Dad driving Donnie to therapy, and they're talking about how they still don't know where the plane engine came from. And while they're chatting, they almost run into this crazy old woman with the craziest wig on that I've ever seen. Donnie gets out to help her. She is walking very slowly over to her mailbox, and then she opens the mailbox, and then she closes it, and then she whispers something in Donnie's ear, but we don't see what she says.
Oy.
And then we cut to therapy. He's telling his therapist that he made a new friend named Frank, who's imaginary, and he wants him to follow him into the future. And he said the world is coming to an end. And she's like, do you think the world is coming to an end? And he says, no, that's stupid. And in this moment, Jake Gyllenhaal, he like seems like he's like a little kid. It's weird. He plays this scene like he's like 8 years old, which is strange. Cut to, we see Patrick Swayze's motivational speaker video. It's called Controlling Fear. It's the most 80s thing you've ever seen, with like ridiculous, like twinkly little music and crazy transitions between scenes. It's very funny. And while Donnie's watching it, he hears the creepy bunny voice go, pay close attention. You could miss something. And then Donnie wakes up in the middle of the night and the spooky bunny is there. And he walks outside, but this time he grabs an axe and he walks somewhere. We don't see where. And he does something, but we don't see what. You can just tell that he's like swinging the axe. And that's all you see.
Does it seem like the axe is making contact with something?
Yes. Well, we quickly find out what happens. Okay. So the next day, it's October 6th, and they're back at the bus stop. And a little girl runs up to them. It's Donnie and his little sister.
What's the Mean Girls Day?
October
3rd. On October 3rd.
Oh, yeah, October 3rd. Okay, sorry.
Close.
We missed it.
three days after Mean Girls Day. But also many years in the past.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. No, this is it. That's definitely relevant.
Same universe, for sure.
That'll probably come up later, probably. So this little girl runs up and is like, school's closed today. It's flooded. We don't have to go. There's a busted water main. And then it shows a shot of the school flooding. And there's an axe also right in the center of the school's solid bronze statue of a bulldog. So there's a funny scene between the little, like, freshman girls where one of them says, they found feces everywhere. And the other one goes, what are feces? And the other one goes, baby mice. And they go, aw. As Donnie walks home, he runs into Jenna Malone. Her name is Gretchen. And she's being harassed by Seth Rogen and
Gretchen,
the other bully.
I think that's a character in Mean Girls.
I think it is. The connections are coming.
Wait.
There's going to be more. You guys just have to their Easter eggs throughout, for sure.
It's on theme.
It's an Easter movie.
So this is when Seth Rogen gives his iconic first line, I like your boobs. She asks Donnie to walk her home so she can get away from the bullies. And this is also where we find out that her dad stabbed her mom 4 times in the chest. She says it very casually. She says, I think she says, we moved here because my dad has emotional problems. And he's like, I have emotional problems too. What kind does your dad have? And she goes, he stabbed my mom 4 times in the chest. And they look at each other. They're perfect for each other. They love each other.
Wow.
They decide to go together. That's what they call it. Donnie's like, do you want to go together? And she's like, go where? And he's like, with me.
That does feel like something grandparents say. That's not of this era, that phrase. No.
I was kind of surprised by it, too. Maybe they used that terminology in the 80s. Who can say? No one knows.
Lost to time.
Not a soul remembers. Yep.
So his therapist, then we go back to therapy. His therapist tries to hypnotize him. And when she does that, he almost immediately starts masturbating. Not quite. But he's like, it's like clear because she asks him, like, what's new at school? And he's like, I met a girl I like. And then he immediately like turns into like a horny little teenager. And she's claps her hands and his like hand is almost going down his pants. And he's like, oh, fuck, that's embarrassing. So we don't get very far with that.
You guys
are first hypnotism.
Ever been hypnotized?
No.
No. Have you?
No. I think it's kind of scary.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be.
Did you guys at school? I remember at my high school one time, a hypnotist came and people like did things on stage that I was like, this feels like it should be illegal. Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to do that to children in a public setting.
They did. A hypnotist came to my senior grad night. And yes, for the most part, you could tell that people were really getting hypnotized. It was very crazy. But then there was one kid that was fucking with him. And every time he turned his back, this kid would like look at all of us in the audience and be like, hey, I'm joking.
That's
hilarious.
But then anytime the hypnotist looks at him, he'd be like, oh, and do whatever he told him to do. It's a real treasured memory of mine.
Yeah, that's a good bit. That's a really good bit. That's going to work.
Okay, so the school is now questioning the students about the vandalism. They are very upset. This is some serious vandalism that has happened. There's even at one point, there's a scene where you see they're talking about it on the news. That's how big of a deal it is. So they're having the students go up to the board and write. Because also, oh shit, I can't remember what it said. Oh, now I can't remember. Part of the vandalism is that someone graffitied Donnie, obviously, graffitied words, and now I can't remember what they said.
Oh, so they're trying to do like a handwriting analysis? Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Okay.
But Donnie's handwriting does not match, so he's in the clear. But he's clearly stressed. It's pretty obvious he's stressed. And he goes into the bathroom because he's trying to calm down, and there's a crazy scene where the school bully kind of attacks him, holds a switchblade to his throat, and is like, I know you did it.
Is this
the bully
that's taken bumps of cocaine in high school? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And the bully who's really mad that school got closed?
And why is he? I think it's because I think he's worried they're going to blame him. I think he's worried that they're going to try to put it on him.
Well, sir, why do you think that is? Let's look at our own choices.
Exactly. Exactly. But he lets him go. Doesn't actually harm him. Just threatening. Just a casual little knife to the throat, threatening, no big deal. And then there's an emergency PTA meeting that's held due to the vandalism. There's an active investigation. They're trying to get to the bottom of it. At this point, it's really sad to watch this because also Beth Grant, the teacher, Kitty Farmer, she has a real stick up her ass, and she's also using this PTA meeting as an opportunity to condemn Drew Barrymore's choices for her English class, like saying that the books they're reading are pornographic and are immoral and are the reason why things like this are happening. She basically blames the vandalism on Drew Barrymore teaching Graham Greene, essentially. Okay. And
also, it's Kitty Farmer Don't love that name.
No, it's a terrible name. It's just sad because it's like, oh, books are banned now. Because they're playing it as though it's like, we would never ban books. Of course not. We're not that type of community. Like, we don't ban books anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. And it's like, it's happening again.
I mean, I already had that feeling when Jake Gyllenhaal's therapist asks him if he thinks the world is ending. I'm like, well, yeah, it is.
In like 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Just because climate change is maybe going to reach a precipice of being too catastrophic. So we got to just enjoy.
5 to 7?
It's sooner than we think. That's why we have to really enjoy our
gotta
time now.
Live it up. We got to live it up, baby.
Live it up, baby. Ooh.
Go watch Donnie Darko. So, yeah, no, I don't know why. What was I like at 15? I don't know. What was going on in my brain? Something in this movie spoke to me. I don't know what it was. So this PTA meeting is cut in between scenes of Donnie going to take his medication at home. And then he starts to have like this vision and he hears Frank's voice. He says, "Don't worry, you got away with it." And then he starts, Donnie basically slams the air in front of him. And we get our first like vision of this. It's hard to describe. It's like this, it almost looks like flubber, like clear flubber. Basically, it's like he's hitting the space-time continuum or something. And it's like you see the air like reverberate in front of him. So he like starts like hitting the space in front of him and it's buzzing. And then he's talking to Frank and he's like, "How did you do that?" And Frank says, "I can do anything I want. And so can you." And he goes, "Why did you make me flood the school?" And he says, "They're in great danger." And he says, "Where did you come from?" And he goes, "Do you believe in time travel?" And then his little sister walks into the bathroom and is like, "Who are you talking to?" And then it cuts to Donnie reading a poem he wrote in class, which is so funny. The idea of making kids write poetry and then come in and say it out loud to your class. Humiliating. He says, "A storm is coming," Frank says, "a storm that will swallow the children and will deliver them from the kingdom of pain." And it's this long poem. And that's the vibe. And Drew Barrymore.
Like kingdom of pain and saving the children.
Yeah. You get it. Drew Barrymore pauses when he's done, really thinks about what he says, and then looks at him and goes, "Who's Frank?" And he goes, "A 6-foot-tall bunny rabbit." And the whole class laughs. And Drew Barrymore looks at him kind of like, "I know you're telling the truth and I'm into it. I respect that.
I'm a cool teacher. I'm only 3 years older than you, so I get it."
I'm
basically your peer.
Then Donnie's class watches another video from Patrick Swayze's motivational class. Beth Grant is teaching it. She's absolutely salivating at Patrick Swayze's character. She is in love. She makes them do an exercise from it. Lifeline exercise number one. She puts on the board fear on one end of the spectrum, love on the other. And she gives them scenarios. They read it out loud and they have to mark whether that person was acting out of fear or love. There is a Chinese exchange student named Sharita who appears in this movie, and she's bullied so hard. She doesn't speak very good English. And it's so, poor Sharita has to go first, and she just appears a few times in this movie, and it's like, so I'm like, this is your image of America. This is like what you get to experience in America. That fucking sucks. This sucks. So Donnie then goes next, and he's given a scenario about a person finding money in a wallet and then keeping it. And he gets really angry. She's like, what is this? Is this a fear response or a love response? And he's like, you can't lump all of the human emotions into two categories. I won't do this. He's like, this is bullshit. I'm not doing this. And they cut to the principal's office with Donnie's parents in there. And the principal is like,
First, I just want to say, Donnie, your state scoring is intimidating. But before he can keep going, he's interrupted by Beth Grant, who's in the room too. And she basically screams this line. She says, "He asked me to forcibly insert the lifeline card into my anus." She like screams it. And the father laughs and the mother looks very upset. And however, there's like no punishment given for Donnie for this. Mm-hmm. It's weird. They basically just tell his parents and that's it.
It's so funny to imagine being a parent and having to discipline your kid when they do something objectively funny. Like,
yeah, I know. It would be really hard.
It's
especially
tough.
When it's like, yeah, they were, the teacher is stupid. Like you can tell them. I don't know. How do you like, I guess respect and knowing when to say things out loud and when
to
not.
It'd be really
but
tough for me. I feel like I would be too much like, who gives a shit? That's
that
pretty
rad.
Funny. Hey, hell yeah. That was what you did was really cool.
So that's what the dad wants to do. Damn. The mom does not. They have a conversation about it later where they're kind of, it's funny. But so then we go to October 10th and Donnie is asking his science teacher if he knows anything about time travel. And the science teacher gives him a book and he's like, "Don't tell anyone I gave you this, but this person used to teach at Middlesex. She was a nun." We love nuns. She was a nun.
Love nuns.
Love nuns. Until she just up and changed overnight. She had like a vision, completely changed her life, and wrote this book, The Philosophy of Time Travel. And it's by Roberta Sparrow, a.k.a. the crazy old lady in the wig. So that's the one that they almost ran into, who's constantly checking her mailbox. That's Roberta Sparrow. She wrote this book, The Philosophy of Time Travel. This book will come up a bunch from now on. And Donnie is like, "Wait, Roberta, what the hell?" He starts reading. We read as well. Chapter one, The Tangent Universe. It says, I'm just going to tell you because it is helpful to understanding the movie. Incidents when the fabric of the fourth dimension become corrupted are incredibly rare. If a tangent universe occurs, it will be highly unstable, sustaining life for no longer than several weeks. Eventually, it will collapse upon itself, forming a black hole within the primary universe capable of destroying all existence. So that's
freaky.
The first chapter.
Okay.
I started Three Body Problem last night, the new show by the Game of Thrones guys, and it has some time travel and countdown aspects, and
freaky.
I'm feeling a little spooked.
Uh-oh. Is it a sign? It's a sign.
Hope not.
Then we get another therapy session. He's hypnotized during these therapy sessions now, so he's kind of like being more honest. And she asks him what Roberta Sparrow said to him when she whispered in his ear. And he said that she said every living creature on Earth dies alone. And he said, "How'd that make you feel?" And basically the whole conversation is about how he's like, he doesn't want to be alone and he's scared to die alone. That night, Donnie and his family and his friend and his friend's dad are watching football. And he kind of like seems like he all starts to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden he sees this what looked the same kind of image that you could see when he was hitting his hand against the air, and like it was this kind of clear, obviously it's a
like a force field type thing.
So that starts coming out of everyone's chest. So if they're, and it kind of shows where they're going. So, like, he sees it come out of his dad's chest, and then a few seconds later, his dad, like, gets up and follows it. So it's clear that it's, like, predictive in a way. Like, it shows you where the person's going. And he starts to see it come out of his own chest. So he gets up, and he starts following it, and he goes upstairs into a closet, finds a box, opens the box. There's a gun in it. Then October 18th, 12 days remain. Donnie tries to kiss Gretchen and She hesitates. She wants it to be at a time when it reminds her of how beautiful the world can be. And she says, and right now there's some fat guy over there staring at us. And it just pans over and there is a fat guy in a red tracksuit just staring at them. And it's like, okay. They're in like the woods. It's very weird that he's there.
Okay.
So then we see the parents at dinner and the mom is like, I don't think telling any woman to forcibly insert an object up her anus should go without consequence. And the dad says, I think we should buy him a moped. And then she says, I think we should get a divorce. And then they look at each other and they both start laughing. And I was like, this is a very funny relationship.
Interesting.
They have a very funny marriage.
We see Donnie and Maggie carving some pumpkins. He's clearly sharing with her some of the experiences he's been going through. He makes her promise that she won't tell mom. And she says she won't. And then Donnie shows his pumpkin. And it's legit actually the scariest pumpkin I've ever seen. Like it looks like he carved the pumpkin in such a terrifying way. You just have to see it to understand. It's so unsettling. And Maggie's like, oh, that's like really scary. And he looks at it and he's like, huh, you think? And anyway, this pumpkin really spooked me. It stayed with me. Maybe the scariest part of the whole film. Then Donnie's parents meet with his therapist and she's very serious. She's upset. She's worried about him. She says that he has aggressive behavior. He's increasingly detached to reality. He's not able to cope with the forces in the world that he perceives to be threatening. And she's like, has he ever told you about his friend Frank, the giant bunny rabbit? And the parents are like, no, not at all. And she says that Donnie's experiencing a daylight hallucination. And cut between Donnie taking more pills, hitting more walls between reality and himself. Mm-hmm. And the mom is like, what can we do? And the therapist is like, let's increase medication. And the mom just has this really sad scene where she's like, whatever, we'll do whatever we can. We just would like to him to experience some relief. And she says that while she's like trying not to burst into tears. Oh. And it's just very sad. Then we see Donnie and Gretchen at a video game arcade. And he's telling her, like, I just keep waking up someplace farther and farther from my house. And then we get Patrick Swayze at the school. He is a motivational speaker. He's there to do a presentation. He starts out by saying, good morning, you mongrels. Too many young women and men are paralyzed by fear, drugs, alcohol, and premarital sex. And then he says, I'm going to tell you about a disturbed young man searching for love in all the wrong places. His name is Frank. And Donnie is like, what the fuck? And then suddenly the assembly starts speeding through time. And like, it just goes really fast. It just speeds through the entire assembly and it cuts to the Q&A section. And Donnie goes up and asks him, he says, good morning. How much are they paying you to be here? And this kind of shocks Patrick Swayze. And he says, my friends, here we have an anger prisoner. Son, it breaks my heart to say this, but I think you're troubled and confused. And Donnie's like, I am troubled and confused, but I think you're the Antichrist. And then he gets pulled out of the assembly. And he later is just trying to he's ranting about Patrick Swayze to Gretchen. She's telling him to sit down, calm down. Jenna Malone just has this like affect to her that's so, at least in this film, and I feel like sometimes in other films too, but not in Pride and Prejudice, but certainly in this film, she's so good at like this weird one note thing that's very calm. And it's almost like unsettling how calm she is.
Mm-hmm. She has like a baseline kind of scary vibe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
I saw her once. I'm just now remembering. During the pandemic, picking up pastries from the same bakery that me and Joel were picking up pastries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not scary at all.
It wasn't scary. And she was really lovely.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
So they, and while they're chatting, while Gretchen and Donnie are chatting, they are in their kind of like hangout spot, which is kind of near where Roberta Sparrow lives and where she's outside her house, like shuffling around her mailbox. And you hear Frank say to Donnie, send her a letter.
Send her a letter. Send her a letter.
Donnie tries to talk to his science teacher again about what's happening to him, but the science teacher is like, I don't think I can continue this conversation because if I do, I'll lose my job. Because it's just getting too, like, intense, basically, because he's asking him too many questions about the world ending and about time travel, and it's clear that Donnie is, like, convinced this is really happening.
Mm.
While Donnie is walking to school one day, he finds Patrick Swayze's wallet. And Frank says, now you know where he lives.
Uh-oh.
Then Donnie and Gretchen go see Evil Dead together.
Evil
Dead.
The Evil Dead?
The Evil Dead. And shockingly, within the first few minutes, Gretchen falls asleep. Completely asleep. Completely asleep in Evil Dead, a movie you would not fall asleep to, but sure.
I mean, I've fallen asleep during Mad Max Fury Road, so I really can't. Yeah.
Sometimes
not my first viewing of it, but on a repeat watch, I fell right asleep.
Jen always falls asleep in any superhero movie, which is, I don't know. Sometimes like the louder and crazier things are, just puts
it all
puts,
just becomes noise. Right, it's like sleep. A white noise machine.
Yeah, it's like being on an airplane.
Puts you right to sleep. Well, she is very asleep, because Donnie starts to have some visions. Suddenly, Frank is sitting next to them in the theater, and he says to him, why do you wear that stupid bunny suit? And Frank says, why are you wearing that stupid man suit? Then the bunny takes its mask off, and it's a young guy. So we see the man who's inside the bunny suit. It's a young guy with long hair, and his eye is gone. It's like just a red socket. It's all mangled and gross and disgusting.
Ew.
He's like, Frank, when is this going to stop? And Frank is like, you should already know that. And then he says, I want you to watch the movie screen. There's something I want to show you. Have you ever seen a portal?
Oh, I thought he said, I want you to watch the movie Scream. And it's like, man, we're really just going through a lot of, that one hasn't even come out yet. Okay, no. Yeah.
And have you ever seen a portal? I can't do the voice at all. And we see a portal going through the movie screen. And then you hear Frank go, burn it to the ground. And then we see intercut between, there's a talent show at the high school where Donnie's little sister is performing in a dance competition, and Donnie going to Patrick Swayze's house and literally covering it in gasoline.
Uh-oh.
Lighting a match and fucking burning that shit to the ground.
Uh-oh.
Donnie comes back, sits down. Gretchen, still asleep, completely asleep. In the movie theater, she wakes up. She goes, how long was I asleep for? And then they look at each other and they make out. The next day, Maggie Gyllenhaal, she's watching a new segment on the fire at Jim Cunningham's house. That's Patrick Swayze's character. And guess what? They found a kiddie porn dungeon that's what they call it.
Oh. On the news, that's what they call it?
That's on the news, that is what they call it. So I don't want to think too deeply about exactly why they use the term dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah. Implies being underground.
Yeah, don't love that. Don't love that.
It implies prisoners.
Yeah, don't love any of that. Don't love any of that. So they, obviously, Jim Cunningham is going
the Antichrist.
Prison and is actually the Antichrist. Meanwhile, the principal tells Drew Barrymore that she's failed as an English teacher and that she can't continue on at the school, and she has she can finish out the week, but she's got to go. She goes out to the sports field and screams "fuck" very loudly, while Sharita watches her and looks sad. Poor Sharita is having like the worst fucking time, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Then they find out that Donnie's little sister has been chosen to go on Star Search in L.A. And the teachers are cheering. They're so excited. But then they see the news of Jim Cunningham, Kitty Farmer, pretty devastated. She was huge Jim Cunningham stan.
Tough.
So she goes to see Donnie's mom, Beth Grant. She shows up at Donnie Darko's house, knocks at the door. She's wearing a shirt that just says, "God is awesome," with several exclamation points, which I loved, and I want that shirt.
You could definitely pull it off as the priest's
I
wife.
I think so. People will be confused. So she's saying that she can't go to the Star Search. She was going to be the chaperone for the Star Search in LA, but she can't go because she's spearheading the Jim Cunningham defense campaign. And that he really needs all the help that he can get. And
No.
She says clearly he's been
planted a kiddie porn dungeon in his home, his personal home.
Yep. That's the implication.
Kitty.
So she says you have to take our daughters too, because their daughters are in the same dance group. She has a daughter who's also the same age as Donnie's little sister. So the mom, her husband's also gone for work, and the mom is like, okay, I guess I'll just leave the older sister in charge. And if anything goes wrong, just call Donnie's therapist. That's what she tells Maggie. She's like, if anything happens with Donnie, just call his therapist. Before she leaves, Donnie's like, how does it feel to have a wacko for a son? And she says, it feels wonderful. And she's crying. And then they go to the airport. Then back at school, Drew Barrymore is packing up. Donnie walks in on behind her on the board. It just says cellar door. But she's packing up and he goes, what's going on? And she's like, they fired me. And he's like, that's bullshit. You're the only good teacher here. And then what's cellar door? And she says, of all the endless combinations in human history, a famous linguist once said that cellar door is the most beautiful. And she leaves and Sherita's there yet again. And Donnie she wears earmuffs a lot, and he takes them off of her head. And he says, I promise that one day everything is going to be better for you. And she screams, shut up. And drops a book, and it has Donnie Darko written all over it with hearts all over it.
Oh.
And then Donnie wears her earmuffs, which is very cute. So he wears her earmuffs to therapy. He's hypnotized, and he tells his therapist everything. He's like, I flooded the school. I burned that pervert's house down. I have to obey Frank or else I'll be left all alone. And then I won't be able to figure out what this is all about. I have the power to build a time machine. She says, when is this going to happen? And he says, soon. And then he's like, I can see him right now. And Frank appears in the room with them. And she says, and the therapist says to him, if the world were to end now, there would only be you and him and no one else. And then he cries and hugs her. And then she claps and he snaps out of it. And then she tells him, you can stop taking your medication. They're just placebos anyway. And she's like, clearly she's like very, as a therapist, whole dynamic. I want to read other people's take on it because I can't tell if she's a terrible therapist or just like a fine therapist. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't tell what's going on with her. So then it's October 29th, and Maggie says she got in. She's going to Harvard. She was taking a year off after high school. She gets into Harvard. Donnie's like, we should throw a party. Cut to Halloween night. Everyone's in costumes.
Is this supposed to be the 28th day?
Yeah. Well, almost. It's like the day before.
Okay.
Huge party at Donnie's house, and he's wearing goddamn Phoebe Bridgers outfit. I guess this is where Phoebe Bridgers gets it from. Full skeleton costume, gray sweatshirt. and Gretchen arrives at the party, and she's really upset because her mom left. Her mom just like abandoned her, I guess. And they go upstairs. Oh, well, no. She's worried something bad happened to her mom. And they go upstairs, and she's worried her stepdad has like done something to her mom. And then they start to make out, and it's implied they have sex, but they don't show any of that. Meanwhile, we get a voicemail from the mom saying that she's taking the red eye back that night and will arrive the next morning. October 30th comes on the screen. Donnie wakes up back in the room where he's with Gretchen, and they're still at the party. He's still in his Phoebe Bridgers outfit, and he starts to look upset, and that thing comes out of his chest again, the, like, predictive little motion. Mm-hmm. And he gets up and he follows it down the stairs, holding Gretchen's hand. And on the whiteboard, now it says, Frank was here, went to get beer. And Donnie and Gretchen and his two friends are there. And Donnie's like, time is running out. We got to go. He just starts like kind of freaking out. And Gretchen and his friends are like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you talking about? We don't know what you're talking about. But he's like, we got to go, you guys. We got to go. And so they get on their bikes and they bike over to Roberta Sparrow's house. Mm-hmm. And they knock on her door. She's not answering. And then he turns and he sees a cellar door. So he goes over and he's starts to open up the cellar door when suddenly Seth Rogen and the bully attack, like come out of nowhere and attack them.
Oh, God.
And they're kind of like fighting them off when suddenly a car like veers around the corner and they try to get out of the way, and most of them do, except Jenna Malone. And the car just runs right over her.
Oh my God.
Just fucking runs over her. And a guy in a bunny suit with a metal mask gets out of the driver's seat. And he's like, what the fuck happened? Like, this is Frank. This is the full Frank outfit. But this dude is not Frank. This dude is just like a regular guy who's like freaked out. He's like, is she okay? What were you guys doing in the middle of the road? What's wrong? He's a regular
dude driving in that outfit?
Yeah, he's clearly wasted.
But it's like Halloween. It was
Halloween night, party night. Yes,
exactly. And he was in his Halloween costume, which is the Frank bunny suit. And Donnie looks at him and he takes the gun out of his pocket. He has the gun and just raises it and shoots him right in the eye. Shoots him right in the eye.
Oh, no.
He goes down. And then Roberta appears and she says, a storm is coming. You have to hurry.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is happening?
I know. So then the sun starts coming up.
Does everyone see him shoot a man? Yeah,
definitely.
And is Jenna Malone dead?
Jenna Malone is dead.
Jesus Christ.
Donnie carries.
Do we get a look at this Frank's face? Is it the same guy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the same guy. Yes, it's the same guy. And also, I think that there's also been this thing throughout the movie where Maggie Gyllenhaal is talking to a guy on the phone and you never see who she's talking to, but I think it's this guy. Okay. And I think that this is just a guy that, like, she's been hooking up with.
Mm.
And that's just who this person is.
Okay.
So he carries Gretchen's dead body back home, and he puts it in his family's car. Then he walks into the house, and the party's over at this point. Everyone's gone. And his sister's asleep downstairs. He kisses her on the forehead. He takes the car keys. He goes back outside. He's starting to keel over. He's feeling really sick. He looks up over his house and he sees a black hole starting to form over his house. And he gets in the car and he drives away with Gretchen's body just as police arrive at his house, clearly there to arrest him because he's shot someone in the head. So he drives back up to where the movie started, back up to the top of the San Gabriel Mountains. And he sits on the top of the car with Gretchen's just dead body in there. And he looks out into the distance and he sees this like crazy vortex appearing far away, clearly like over top of his house. And he could see it and he just laughs to himself and he says, I'm going home. And he seems like that he's accepted whatever this fate is. Meanwhile, we see that his mom and little sister are in an airplane crash. Their airplane starts like shaking and he gets into the car and he looks at Gretchen and he smiles. And then suddenly the movie starts rewinding and the whole movie rewinds. So you see everything happen, but like in reverse. And meanwhile, with shots of like fireworks going off,
kind of like other an Irish Wish effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just like, it reminded me so much of Irish Wish.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Irish Wish was actually inspired by Donnie Darko. We get a voiceover from Donnie while it's rewinding. It's his letter that he wrote to Roberta Sparrow. And it's, you know, he says a lot of things, but one of them is, I hope that when the world comes to an end, I can breathe a sigh of relief because there will be so much to look forward to. And then we're back at that first night, back on when his dad, you know, gets up out of bed, turns on the news, back on, you know, Maggie coming home, walking through the front door. And this time Donnie's in his bed laughing, just like hysterically laughing. And he falls asleep in his bed and the plane engine crashes into his room, this time right onto Donnie. And then we get chapter 12 from Roberta's book. And it says, when the manipulated awaken from their journey into the tangent universe, they are haunted by the experience in their dreams. Many of them will not remember, but those who do remember part of the journey are often overcome with profound remorse for their regretful actions buried deep in their psyche. And then we see the therapist wake up looking terrified. Mad World is playing in the background. Very important.
It is very, very Mad World.
The science teacher wakes up, is upset. We see Patrick Swayze. He's crying. Kitty Farmer is crying. Sharita, she's smiling to herself because Sharita is innocent in this whole situation. She's done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. We see images of sketches of the bunny head and Frank sitting by himself, looking really upset and touching his eye. And then we see paramedics wheeling Donnie's body out of the house. The family is in tears outside. The mom is chain smoking and a huge truck cranes out the plane engine, drives away with it. Jenna Malone rides up on her bike, asks a neighbor kid, she's like, hey, what's going on? And the neighbor kid is like, my neighbor got killed. He was smushed by a jet engine.
Smushed.
She goes, What was his name? She goes, he has Donnie Darko. I feel bad for his family. And then he goes, did you know him? She goes, no. And then she looks at the mom and the mom looks at her and they have this like long moment of looking at each other and she waves and then the mom waves back and then the little kid, neighbor kid waves to the mom and then the movie's over.
What?
Whoa, okay, I'm really proud of myself. Whoa, I did it.
Dude, that's so trippy.
That movie is so trippy. Whoa, dude.
Isn't it? It really makes you think. It really makes you think.
What the?
What do you guys think happened?
What the heck?
His alternate reality collapsed back in on itself. That was just
really
like
interested. What is the movie trying to say?
I'm pretty sure the movie has no message.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about anything actually real. I think that I don't know. I think that it's just a time travel movie where basically like Donnie, it's like almost like a Final Destination movie in a way. He like,
oh yeah,
averts death.
By, so death comes back for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. averting death, it causes like the world to potentially collapse in on itself. So in order to right that wrong, he has to
go back and die.
Go back and die. Yeah.
Rather than create this like weird portal.
Right. This like black hole where the whole world
which falls started into because he created an alternate dimension, or he like opened up that by a new timeline by not being in his bed when mm-hmm. he should have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is exactly like Final Destination.
Yeah. It was making me want to watch, rewatch all these other like existential dread type movies mm-hmm. like Melancholia and Take Shelter. Mm-hmm.
I want to see Melancholia again.
I love this. I love this shit.
I don't know what Take Shelter is, though. What is Take Shelter?
Take Shelter is with Michael Shannon, where he becomes convinced the world is ending and he has to build a bomb shelter for his family. Mm. Jessica Chastain plays his wife. And basically, yeah, everybody thinks he's losing his marbles. And I'll say no more. Things get weird.
Say no more. Say no more. Say less.
This movie is not scary. It's honestly funny. It's the soundtrack is great. I love the soundtrack. And it's just a perfect film. No notes.
No notes.
No notes.
I want to watch it as well. I feel like maybe I'll have a triple feature day with those two that I just listed.
Wow, what a and day. Then this,
and maybe top it off with Irish Wish.
I made Tim watch the beginning of it last night with me. And I was just like, isn't this so good? The whole time I was like, isn't this so good? And then I was like, do you want to just watch the rest of it with me? As like, I mean, I know you're going
being
to.
Like, obviously you're going to want to.
Obviously you're going to want. And Tim was like, no. He was like, no, I've got other stuff I have to do. And I was so mad. I said, my love language is watching things. How dare you?
Hager said my love language is watching Donnie Darko.
I have a very specific love language and you're rejecting it.
I just want one thing to feel loved.
Yeah, I was
wow,
devastated.
Wow. Wow, we did it.
I gotta say, I love Jake Gyllenhaal in Ambulance.
I also loved Jake Gyllenhaal in Ambulance. I'll be real about that as well.
That was an incredible performance. I think he's a good actor. And, you know,
he is a good actor.
If he's yelling at Rebecca Ferguson, we don't love that. But
we don't love that.
I heard the rumor that was someone else.
Hugh Grant was the other.
Hugh Grant is another big contender. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a little more upsetting, but I can picture that one as well.
I can picture it too. I mean, I just think these are men who've been famous for a long time who aren't used to being made to check anything that they want to do or say. And I think probably feel entitled to express themselves however they see fit. And that's not acceptable.
Although I do feel like all the Swifties like went hard against Jake Gyllenhaal. Well, I feel like they like.
Swifties are insane.
Really?
The Swifties will go hard. Swifties go too hard.
They go too hard. Yeah.
They go too hard. They go too hard. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the truth. Wow. Henley, you did an amazing
job.
Yes.
Thank you, Henley.
That was really something.
I was really worried about timing and I am so proud of myself, but I'm also sorry if I went too fast. I just was like,
no, it was perfect.
Worried that I was going to do it for 3 hours. I wasn't sure.
It's hard to tell sometimes. You never know what's going to happen.
I feel like
I should mention that our bonus recap this month is Irish Wish, since we mentioned it a few times, and that recap did go for over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Without any mm-hmm. introductory check-in, we just got right into it and talked about Irish Wish for two hours and 15 minutes. So,
and I could talk about it for 2 hours and 15 minutes more.
Yep. So if that's
someday I probably will.
If you want to check out that episode, go to our Patreon this Friday because
We have a lot to say.
We have a lot to say about it.
That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that long. It didn't feel that long.
Went by like a blink. Flew by.
Blink 2 seconds. Absolutely flew by.
Flew by.
You're going to want to check it out.
Well, thanks, you guys. I'm so glad we got to do Donnie Darko on
I'm
the
so
pod.
Glad. I'm so glad, Hen. Thank you for this.
Thank
what a treat.
You, Henley. I feel like I love imagining little 15-year-old Henley.
Love it.
Absolutely losing her mind over this movie. I think this is like David Lynch for teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's yes, a I think really so. Good idea. Yes. I was just feeling so cool about myself. I was like, I like this
as
movie.
Well, you should.
It's a vibe.
It's such a vibe.
It's a vibe.
Wow. It's really trippy. What a trippy vibe. I loved it. Thank you, Hun.
Love you guys.
You really
so
knocked
much.
It out of the park.
Loved you guys so much.
Love
so
you. Much.
Love you guys.
Henley, you got to do the voice.
Oh, right.
Do the voice. Use the voice.
from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
We did it. We made it. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
If you enjoy the show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, or we will haunt you.
And if you simply can't get enough of us, we have good news for you. We have lots of bonus content available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
You'll get access to video trailer reactions, 2 bonus episodes a month, the power to vote for upcoming episodes, and more.
And last but not least, you can follow us on social media at TSDW podcast.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
We love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.